Exodus 33 is an incredible story. And early this morning, about 3:30, sitting in our family room, trouble sleeping last night, felt God reminded me of this passage. I didn't know if I'd be able to speak today or not. It's the type of week we've had, and I always want to give my best in speaking. I even alerted Vince and Guy that they may need to have something back up, but this morning the Lord gave me this, and I believe that it's for us this morning, and I believe I have something for you from the Lord, which is what we want. It'll be wasted time if it isn't from the Lord. If it's ideas or opinions or viewpoints of mine, that'll burn up a lot of time and not accomplish too much. We want the anointing of the Holy Spirit because that's what accomplishes things. Little exit ramp for a second. In your life, seek the anointing on your deeds. Walk close to the Lord so that you can call on Him for that anointing. He wants to anoint your life. We need to walk in obedience to Him, listening to His voice. That's so critically important. It isn't that He doesn't love us when we stray or when we fall, but He can't be part of certain things. I preached a sermon a number of months ago titled, Anger Takes You Out. You become angry, God doesn't quit loving you, but the precious, kind Holy Spirit can't work through my heart when I have an angry heart. And He, with regret and with, I think, sadness, would be scripturally correct, says, I want to work through you, but if you're going to perform in that way, if you're going to carry that attitude, I can't be part of that. I want to keep my mind, body, and spirit in line so I can be used of the Holy Spirit, so I can be directed to the Holy Spirit. And so, when I sense in myself, Lord, I feel like I'm left or right of that, I always say, Lord, whatever I need to do here to get back on track. Even if you have to discipline me to get me back on track, I want to be used of your Spirit. That's critically important. But I believe there's something for us in this. This is an awesome story. We've used this in our mentoring group this last year, a number of months ago. I personally have gone back to this story many, many times. I'm going to read Exodus 33, 12 through 23. Moses said to the Lord, now Moses at this point in time is out in the wilderness with the children of Israel. They have left Egypt. The 10 plagues have occurred that brought Pharaoh to a point that he gave in and said, go and leave. And they're out in the wilderness, and God has spoken to Moses and is giving him the law. A lot of things have happened. I'll say a little more about that in a minute. But Moses is in conversation with the Lord on the mountain. Verse 12 of Exodus 33, it says, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the peoples on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, if you look at my torn up, maybe it's kind of nice this is torn up, I can just hold up pieces of it. You notice I have that circled. And in yellow, this has always challenged me and stirred my heart. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. If you got this concept that God's way, 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 way off somewhere and can't be connected with, you got the wrong concept. The God of the universe is a father and wants a relationship. It was the God of the universe that came to the Garden of Eden and said, Adam, where are you? We've been meeting in the cool of the day after Adam sinned. He said, where are you? No matter how many children you have a desire to have a relationship with them. Glenna Briscoe told me one time in Oakdale that I visited her that her 13 kids, I believe it was, 13 or 15, I can't remember which it was now. That's been years ago. Oh, I want to be close. I want to be best friends with every one of them. God the Father wants a relationship, and I'm finding as grandchildren multiply, I want to know each of those kids. I want a connection with each of those kids. God the Father wants a relationship with us. Awesome that the Lord would say to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And I have, wow, written beside that in my Bible. Moses said, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass by in front of you. Interesting that he describes himself that way. I'll cause my goodness to pass by in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face. Remember, Moses had said, show me your glory. He said, but you cannot see my face. I'll let my goodness pass by you. But you can't see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, this is such a precious moment. I absolutely love this passage. Then the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. What an awesome personal moment. God wants relationship. Okay, I can see me say to my grandkids, Braxton, go stand over there. All right. What you're asking for, I don't know if I can do it fully, but go stand over there. Okay, we're going to practice this. Go stand over here. God says, I'm going to pass by, and I'll put my hand over you so you can't see my face. In answer to the request, show me your glory. And God passed by, and Moses saw the backside of God. We've been talking recently about awesome acts of faith. Had a couple messages titled that. We talked about Abraham. We talked about David. I've been challenging you with two questions. It's still January of the new year. What are you going to believe God for in 2016? And the other question is, what's the thief? I've been bringing those questions before you frequently. What are you going to believe God for in 2016? And what's the thief? What's that thing that has kept you from this relationship we're describing? God is no respecter of persons. Of course, Moses had a special calling to lead the children of Israel. But we understand clearly from Scripture that God wants a personal relationship with each one of us. I think often we glorify the prophets and put people in the Scripture way up on, and obviously the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and the Son of God. But we put human beings up on pedestals, and these are only people that have drawn nigh to God, for draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. We put them way up on this pedestal like their lifestyle and their closeness is unattainable for us some way. Only to find that if we draw nigh to God, He will also draw nigh to me and to you. I say this in a very humble way, but I feel like I need to share, and our own story is our story, and there's things we need to throw in on our own account. I used to read some of the things that happened in Scripture, and I'd think, oh, wow, that'd be so awesome. I can't imagine something happening like that. But as I walk along with the Lord, I'm not surprised by it because I've experienced things that I believe are equal. I can truly say, and some of you could testify to that. You've had some experiences of closeness with God that you realize that's a great story, but I understand what Moses is feeling. I've had times when God is closer than hands or feet. I've had times when there was a closeness that was indescribable and it was closer than your very breath, and you felt Him surround you. And you even begin to move different because you felt His presence close. Don't put anybody on a pedestal that shares experiences like that. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh unto you. In a busy America where we're caught up with things and chasing money and the busy rat race lifestyle, we're not connecting with God like He wants us to. And God is calling us back in these last days of His return. He's calling us back to a closeness with Him. I'm going somewhere with this. This is going to help you this morning. Just a second, let's talk a little background about Moses. And then I want to use the question, what are you willing to God believe for in your relationship? That's where we're going this morning. In your relationship, what are you willing to believe God for this year? In your relationship. I am taken back by the faith of Moses to ask this. Stay with me. I'm taken back by the faith of Moses to ask this. Moses had been at the burning bush where God revealed, I am that I am. Moses had been through the 10 plagues by throwing down his rod or holding it across the river or whatever the instructions were at the time that the 10 plagues came on Egypt to bring judgment on Pharaoh and the Egyptians for the 400 years of bondage and cruelty they had shown to the Israelis. Moses had been at the burning bush. He had been through the plagues and seen the power of God. He had seen in the 10th plague the death angel come through the land after they instituted the Passover, and the oldest of every family died unless the blood was on the doorpost and lintel. He had seen that. He had been through the parting of the Red Sea. Yes, he'd been through the parting of the Red Sea. Wouldn't that have been incredible? As they were backed up against the ocean, 1.5 million people. You talk about being overwhelmed. If you were leader, 1.5 million people crying out, what are we going to do? And they're backed up against the ocean. And Pharaoh's army is coming, and the dust clouds are above as Pharaoh has recollected after all the terrible plagues. And he's coming after him. He's going to kill him. And they're backed up against the sea. And the children of Israel are murmuring and crying out and saying, what did you bring us out here for anyway, to drown us all? And only to see God stir the wind and part the water and make two walls of water and take them through. Who would have ever dreamed that He would part water and make two walls? Would you have come up with that or thought of that of an option? Never. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Forever He is faithful. He will make a road when you carry a heavy load. I know God will make one. I don't know how He does it, but He does it. But it's in relationship. It is about being special or who your last name is, or we put people up on a pedestal. God wants a relationship with you. Where do you want to go in that relationship? The personal challenge this morning is what I'm crying out to you. In this question of what are you asking God for and believing God for in 2016, where do you want to go in your personal relationship? If you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you've always got. And you can be 364, 352 days from now, whatever it is, I can't add, subtract that fast. I'm pretty good, but not that fast. Just kidding. I don't want you to be where you are now. I want to move ahead. Are you with me? I want to be at another level. I don't want to be making the same New Year's resolution in 2017. If you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you've always got. God calls us in Isaiah and says, do a new thing. Where do you want to go in your relationship? Don't monkey with the little stuff. Oh, I want to get my house paid for more. I want to get this. We need a car. Let me tell you a secret. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll add these other things to you. If you're wanting to see God's glory, He'll take care of that nonsense. You with me? But we use all our time up on the nonsense. And I know that works. I've had times when I've said, I know that car needs worked on, but I'm just going to limp it along. It can run on 7 cylinders for another 2 weeks because I need to take my prayer time. And while I'm on my prayer time, somebody came over and fixed the car. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I've seen this go through 1,000 times. What's your personal goal? What do you want to do this year? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. It's going to be good. He'd seen the burning bush. He had seen the 10 plagues. He'd seen the parting of the Red Sea. God makes a way when there is no way. He had seen the manna, for heaven's sake. Lord, I did what you told me. Can you see Moses? He had to be overwhelmed. They said it took 50 box carloads of food a day to feed the children of Israel. 1.5 million of them. And he goes before the Lord and says, Lord, what do I feed these people? This is great. We're out here and all these plagues have come on and we've left Egypt and you've punished Egypt and now we're out here, but what in the world are we going to feed them? And they got up the next morning and they saw this white stuff all over the ground. It was about this big around. Manna. Who would have ever dreamed God would rain bread from heaven and you collect it and save it and it spoils because what's the principle? I'm going to provide for you every day. The only time it didn't spoil was before the Sabbath. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. I've had situations in my life over and over and over. Seems like I've always been on cutting edge and I get worn out sometimes. But it's a privilege and I don't say that, but I do get worn out sometimes. But it seems like God's always asked me to do some new thing. It isn't very popular at first. Or asked me to do some new things. Doesn't go over very well. And I feel like the Lord keeps calling me. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to listen? Are you going to do it? Are you going to let me make a way? And I found as I do that, it's incredibly rewarding. So he'd seen the burning bush. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Burning bush, the 10 plagues. He'd seen the death angel. He'd seen the Red Sea parted. He'd seen the manna fall. He had cried out for water for his people, and he had called water, or in this case, this first time, there's twice this happened, but he struck the rock and water came out. Not go into that. That's a story in itself. He had seen the cloud lead them by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, think about that. From burning bush to manna to parting of the Red Sea. But then when he's one-on-one with God, he's got the guts. He's got the guts to say, show me your glory. I want to see you. That stirs something in the very core of me. A man that has the faith, the woman that has a faith to say, Lord, I think I'd have said, hey, partner. Now, come on, let's pass this around evenly. You've seen the Red Sea parted. You've seen manna fall. You've seen all the plagues. You got a lot of guts, don't you, to ask God to show you his glory. What's my message to you this morning? Go ahead and go for it. Go ahead and go for it. Now, there's things that keep us from going for it. Unworthy mentality. There's things that keep us from going for it. Let me back up a minute. Need to hammer that again. Moses had seen the burning bush. Moses had seen the 10 plagues. He had seen the death angel come through the land. He had seen water come out of the rock. He had seen manna rain out of heaven. He had seen a cloud lead them. He had seen a pillar of fire lead them, but he has the courage. What are you going to ask God for in your relationship? In your own relationship with God, what are you gutsy enough to ask God for this year? Had a guy tell me in the mentoring group the other day, he said, I'm going to make a war room in my house. How many have seen War Room? That's a powerful, powerful movie. And you know what I like best about that movie? A little exit ramp here. What I like best about that movie is the director who plays the man that he works for at the end, the director plays himself down. Most Christian movies nowadays, you know, we want to be a star and compete with Hollywood. He just takes a little part at the end that he fits. And then did you notice, too, at the end of that movie, the older lady that we all liked so well in that movie, did you notice he took her down off the pedestal? That was a wise, wise move. You're all through the movie, oh, this lady, if it wasn't for that older lady, how would they ever make it? That older lady, she's a prophetess. Oh, my goodness, praise be. In the last 10 minutes of the movie, he takes her down off the pedestal. He has her have that talk with the other lady, and she tells all of her flaws and begins to cry. And I thought, isn't that wise how he takes her down off the pedestal and directs everybody to Christ? That's the sign of somebody doing things for the right reasons right there. Little exit ramp, no extra charge for this. Beware of ministries that copy Hollywood. I ain't going to get any more specific than that, but I am going to say that. Jesus downplayed. He would do a tremendous miracle, then slip through the crowd and hide out. And say, don't tell anybody. Not, oh, get the cameras quick. I'm getting ready to do something fantastic. That isn't how Jesus operates. It's all about Jesus at the end of the road. Beware of ministries where there's self-exaltation and all those kinds of things. Back on track. Show me your glory. I think of this truly in the flesh. In the flesh, in my own human brain. I'm thinking, man, that takes a lot of guts. You've been to the burning bush. You've seen all this stuff happen. And you got the guts to say, show me your glory. Come on, you guys. What are you going to ask for? Come on, test him. Test me and see if I won't come through, he says in Scripture. What holds us back? Unworthy mentality. Unworthy mentality. The devil likes to back us into a corner with unworthy. Oh, you're not worthy of this. Can you see God and Moses negotiating? All right, now you said you're pleased with me. You said I was doing okay. Show me your glory. God says, now, you can't live if I do that. All right, stand on that rock over there, and I'll walk by and I'll cover you. What are you going to ask for? What is it? What would the Spirit tell you? I look around this, I see the desire to grow in a lot of your eyes. And that's fuel. That's a tremendous thing. I see the desire to know the Lord. I was blessed with great mentors, Jack Robbins and Pastor Bishop. And I saw in both those men, my dad would bundle up in an old, remember the old overcoats they used to call them? The big long coats with the collars. Daddy would bundle up in an overcoat and a sock hat and go for a walk when it was 10 above zero. He'd say, I need to pray, and he would walk. And it was down by the Wabash River. I thought, that's interesting. Maybe that's a little bit genetic. Pastor Bishop had a longing to be like Jesus that was compelling, convicting. Where is your passion? What's your heart want? I believe many of you, it's the right things. An unworthy mentality. Lord, I don't deserve. Many of us come out of broken lives. Many of us come out of difficult situations. Many of us come out of things where we've made lots of mistakes that were our fault. We can develop an unworthy mentality. I can't ask him for that. The devil would like to keep you hiding behind that. I guess this morning I'm pleading with you to peek up over that wall. Lord, I want to know you. I want 2016 to be a year when I connect with you. And Lord, here's what I'm going to do. He went down in the middle of the mall here, folks. You with me? He was up in the mountain, and that was a choice he made. I don't know what your mountain is this year. Go ahead and ask God for some things. Go ahead, stick your neck out. And it may require going to the mountain. It may require going to the secret place more often. A man in the mentoring group, as I started a while ago, said he's going to make a war room this year, and he's going to make a room in his house, and he's going to go at prayer in a different direction. For it is a fight. We fight not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6, but against principalities and powers. Many of us have a victim mentality. I think this very much applies to our congregation. Many of us have come out of ugly things, and we have an unworthy mentality. I'm not worthy of the Lord. I want to be so sensitive to that. I understand that completely. I'm not worthy, but that's not where he wants you to be. He wants you to claim it and take a hold of it. He tore the curtain from top to bottom of the holiest of holies and said, you can come in. The priest doesn't have to just come in once a year on your behalf. The curtain was torn from top to bottom when Jesus cried, it is finished. And you can go in into his very presence to the Ark of the Covenant, the holiest of holies. Of course, the Old Testament picture paints in preparation for the new. It's a shadow of the things to come. You can go into the presence of God. And incidentally, don't take prayer lightly. Do you know that when you bow your head and say, Lord, however you start your prayer, Lord, I come to you in Jesus' name, do you know that you step into the holiest of holies? And it doesn't matter if it's in the front seat of your car, because the veil's been rent. You spiritually step into the holiest of holies. Quit taking this prayer thing so lightly. This is a precious thing. When you step into the back room, Ben, of where you work, and you close the door like I'm sure you do at times. And I used to do it at Kroger's when the pressures were on and there were temptations and difficulties and trials. And maybe I was getting upset and I'd go back in the cooler and close the door. And when I clacked, the door closed behind me and I said, Lord, I come to you in Jesus' name. I need your strength. I need your help. I need your reinforcement. I've stepped right in the presence of God. That is reality. Well, I suppose we all say a quick prayer, you know. Well, that's what's the right thing to do. Don't let that be your mindset. Don't let the devil make it commonplace. It's a privilege, and he says, come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. I don't have to sit there with an unworthy mentality. Lord, my son's been in an accident, which happened twice. We're in intensive care here now. Lord, I don't deserve a thing, and I know that I'm just a piece of dust here, and I am all those things. And Lord, I know you shouldn't do anything for me whatsoever. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you might find help in time of need. An unworthy mentality, a victim mentality. What do I mean by a victim mentality? Victimized by the devil. Victimized by the devil. And I think this is a big one for people. They've made the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over, and they become victimized by the enemy. They don't have the courage. Well, there's no way I'm going to say, Lord, show me your glory. Yeah, fat chance. Fat chance he's going to show me his glory. The devil has us convinced. The devil thrives on creating a victim mentality. You're cornered. You're cornered. The devil's all over you. He's going to live in fear. We're all tempted to do that at times. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. A martyr mentality. These are all things that keep us from asking, show me your glory. What in your relationship are you to ask God for this year? A martyr mentality. Oh, life's beat me up so bad, I'm never going to mount anything. I think a lot of these apply to our congregation. Life's beat me up so bad, I'm never going to mount anything. Oh, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. I can't climb out of this hole. Caught up in me, and what's happened to me, and we're midlife, and we're adding up the score all the time of all the mistakes we've made, and the devil has us in a mindset where we're a martyr. We have a martyr mentality that, poor me, I've been beat up. Life's dealt me a bad hand. I never have any luck. My boat sunk in the harbor. That train, that light I thought was the end of the tunnel was a train. Is a train coming? You run into that often of people who have had brokenness. Yes, face the mistakes of your past. Yes, look them in the eye. Yes, call them what they are. But you can't stay there. Go ahead. Ask him for something. Go ahead. Ask him for something. But Pastor, I spent half my life in jail. Pastor, will you ask him for something? Do you know that the epistles were written from jail? A lot of them. God can do marvelous things. God can make a way when there is no way. Forever he is faithful. He will make a road. When you bear a heavy load, I know God will make a way. A needy mentality, and that's similar to martyr, but a little bit different. Needy's a little more innocent. I think there's a little difference. There is a relationship there between martyr mentality and needy mentality, but I'm just constantly needy and I'm never gonna get fixed and just a needy mentality. I'm just needy all the time, and I'm constantly seeking comfort and living on emotion to find comfort. The problem I have with addictions, we're not going to burn up a lot of time. We're not going to burn up a lot of time this morning talking about little drops of powder and little bits of paper and things you smoke. And we're not going to burn up a lot of time with that. You know the problem I have with addictions? They're substitutes for the Holy Spirit. That's what they are. That's why they're not right. And that's why God's calling you out of it. I'm not a pastor that's going to spend, if you want to meet with me 20 minutes and talk about a certain habit and argue back and forth, I'm sorry, I won't show up. I'm not interested in those conversations. We're interested in something bigger than that. The problem I have with addictions is they're substitutes for the Holy Spirit. I had an individual that I love dearly and have a lot of respect for this week send me a text and say, I realized in something I got caught up in this week that instead of finding the comfort and help of the Holy Spirit, I accepted it from another route. There you go. Admit it, face it. The problem I have with addictions, they're substitutes for the Holy Spirit. The precious Heavenly Father would say, daughter, son, it's a little longer route, but I'm going to bring you to comfort. Don't go that way. You don't need another man. I'm going to bring you to comfort. But you know what? When you get the core problem fixed, then God will bring all those things you need. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalms 37:4. I begged a woman, literally begged her, at the coffee table in the office at Prior Church. I literally begged her. She's gone now. She died. She was in her 10th relationship, and I'd worked with her and worked with her and worked with her, and I was like at my wit's end, not mad at her, but at my wit's end. I don't know what else to tell her. And I knelt at the coffee table. I remember crying. I'll call her Susie. That wasn't her name. I said, Susie, don't do this same thing again. When are we going to deal with the root problem? Well, I got to have somebody. No, you got to have this fixed. And the problem I have with the things people chase after is they're substitutes for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the giver of life, and He'll give you peace and joy. People say, Pastor, you preach with a lot of passion. I don't know if I do or not, but I'm preaching on it because it works. It works. Do you think there's anybody more messed up than Robbins? Study the history of the Robbins. We're a mess. We're an absolute mess. If I wasn't up here this morning as a messenger that God's brought me out of sin and made me a messenger, I'd be as addicted or serving a life sentence or as addicted as anybody you met. But the Holy Spirit can fill the gaps. The Holy Spirit can bring the comfort that we're seeking for. A needy mentality. Now, a warrior mentality. A warrior mentality. I'm going to be winding up here directly. A warrior mentality. Vince, I believe you do this in the 12th step. But we got to present a warrior mentality by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We're now a warrior. Bob, you know that works. By the power, we've been both ways. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have a warrior mentality. Not, well, I got a needy mentality, and, you know, I guess sometimes I'm just going to get drunk and a skunk. I guess sometimes I'm just going to get hired. I'm just needy, and I'm just a victim, and I'm just a martyr. When do we declare war on something? The problem I have with some 12-step programs, not ours. The problem I have with some 12-step programs is I think they leave you in a martyr mentality. I believe they leave you in a martyr mentality. I believe God wants you to say, you know what? I'm going to link up with the Holy Spirit, the precious partner. He's going to be right here. He and I are going to walk hand in hand, and we're going to declare war on this problem. This horrible lust problem is coming to an end. I'm calling it. That's why everybody liked the movie War Room, because that lady went outside and had it out with the devil. Did you see that? Yeah, she went outside and she had it out with the devil. Have you ever had it out with the devil? And I don't say that in ourselves. It's only through the power of Christ, but I've been there. I remember one time we were going through one of the hardest times of our life, and I felt like the Lord said, you got to have it out with the devil. And I got in my car, and if you'd have seen me, you'd have admitted me to the local psych ward. I got in my car and went down to a place where nobody was, and I shouted at the devil for about 15 minutes. First of all, it's kind of good for me to get all that out of me because I was suppressing it all. And I shouted at the devil and said, I had enough. And when that lady was doing that on War Room and claiming the grace for her husband, and at the same time her husband was meeting with that lady that he shouldn't have been meeting with, I want to tell you something. When you declare war on this thing, instead of, well, I'm just a victim and I'm just stuck here and I'm just needy, 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 and I'm a martyr and this ain't ever going to change. I'm not knocking it. I'm sensitive at the same time that I'm forward with you on this. But it's time to declare war on some things. Are you with me? It's time to declare war on some things. What are you going to ask God for? Man, that took a lot of guts, Tom. I wouldn't have had the guts after seeing the burning bush and seeing the manna to say, show me your glory. I'd have thought, well, heaven's sakes, he's given me enough. I've seen all the 12, seen a death angel. He says, come on, show me your glory. Come on, step out of it. Jake, what are you going to ask God for this year? Step out of it. Ask for something new. Sorry, I'm calling names, but I kind of looked at your eyes, see if I can do that. I thought I could. What are you going to ask God for this year? You going to make the same New Year's resolution next year? Do what you always done? Get what you always got. It's time to do a new thing. God wants to transform us. He wants to make us into a new creation in Christ. Warrior mentality, taken from Ephesians 6, and I'll read to it. We read that passage probably more than any passage in the Bible in this church. For we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It says, stand, put on the full armor of God. Oh, you say I'm going too far with that warrior thing? Read Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, armor, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world. Why am I having such a hard time? Hello? When you gave your life to Christ, you entered a new realm. You got principalities and powers don't want you to succeed. They want to destroy your kids. They want to destroy your life. They want to destroy everything about you. Hello, you're in a new realm. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing boring about being a Christian when you get in line with a warrior. Get in line to be a warrior. There's nothing boring about being a Christian. Put on the full armor of God so when the evil day comes, you can stand your ground, having done everything to stand. Stand there with the belt tucked in around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take the shield of faith so that you may extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. What's a warrior mentality? Committed to the fight. Eye on the prize. Hey, look over here. Look over here what I'll give you. Look here what you can do tonight. Hey, I got my eye on the prize. I got my eye on the prize. It comes from the book of Hebrews. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Well, look over here. Boy, this would be some nice comfort, temporary relief. Pastor Bishop used to say, you know, I agree with the devil and then I rebuke him. I say, you're right, it would be, but sorry. Sold out. We're not doing that. Thought that's interesting. He'd say, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. That'd be fun for now. It says about Moses that he was in the wickedness for a season. That's short-lived. Dead-end street. Wind down real fast doing that. Keep your eye on the prize. Use my wounds. Don't lick my wounds. A warrior uses his wounds. In the Indian tribes, they picked the men with the most scars to lead to battle. Using your wounds. What are wounds that are healed? What are wounds that are healed? They're signs of experience. Scars are signs of experience. Use my wounds. Don't lick my wounds. How many of us are stuck in a victim, martyr mentality, needy mentality? God's calling us to a warrior mentality. Use my wounds. Don't lick my wounds. Submission to the captain, the ultimate captain of our army is Jesus Christ. Humble heart, passionate, determined, aggressive spirit. I've talked enough. If I can find my pieces of my Bible here. There it is. Yeah. I want to close with this. When Moses came down from the mountain, we've read this passage recently, but I can't leave this out. It's too good. When Moses came down from the mountain, after he said, show me your glory. And he had the stones and the tablets and the word that God had given him, the law, in his hands. He was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. And Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses. His face was radiant. And they were afraid to come near. He didn't even know it. Of course, nowadays, you know, we'd have ruined it. Oh, let's call NBC and CBS and Fox News and let's take pictures. You see this guy's face is glowing. Let's get a picture of this. Let's put this on a billboard. Maybe we can get everybody to come to our church. No. If God's Spirit were to come on you, and he will. If God's Spirit were to come on you in a way that would cause you to radiate, and that can happen. Many times Spirit-filled people will notice it. But it's about him, it ain't about us. Moses didn't even know it. He just doing his job. He's supposed to get the law and bring the stones down. He come down that mountain fighting those roots and everything, coming down there holding those things because he busted up the first ones, you know. And he's walking down. Everybody on the front row is going to get strep throat, sorry. He's walking down with those tablets. He's just doing his job, and Aaron's going, whoa, whoa, whoa. And everybody's going, get back. He's like, what's the matter? When you've been close with God and you're doing his work, it isn't about showing off. It isn't about, hey, look, everybody, did you see me? No. Oh, there'll be times you're going to shine. And everybody will know you shine, and I believe people that walk in the Spirit will see, and sometimes that's an encouragement. Then there's nothing wrong with that. But we got this out of balance. Sometimes people say, Tom, you act like you don't like that particular church. I said, no, they're advertising the shine too much. Suit me. Sorry. I don't. There's certain churches I just stay away from. There's certain teachings I just stay away from. They're advertising the shine too much. This ain't about the shine. It's about show me your glory. He didn't even know he's shining. See the difference? There's a difference. There's a value when God says, man, I'm gonna bless you. I'm going to give you favor. Don't seek the experience. Seek the Savior. He'll give you. You'll run over with experiences. You don't need to worry about that. Okay, I'll finish. They were afraid to come near him. Moses called, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. And afterwards, the Israelites came near and gave them all the commandments the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. And Moses finished speaking to them. He put a veil over his face. Whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. What is it that you're going to ask God for in your own relationship? This is good for me this morning. We got hammered a lot this last year. I want to have a warrior mentality. I want to speak faith and reality. My mom had the best blend of that I ever saw in my life. My mom wasn't afraid to say that things weren't going well. She wasn't afraid to look at you and say, well, whew, it's been uphill lately, but the Lord's been with us every step of the way. She tagged that every time. I want to be a man of faith. I want a warrior mentality. Encourage you to take the journey this year. Go ahead, ask him. Whatever it is for you, your own personal walk, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The scripture says, show me your glory. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for giving me the strength to speak today. Thank you for the music, the way it ministered to my own heart today. I'd ask that you would put deep within our hearts the desire to know you in a fuller way and to pursue the pearl of great price more than ever before. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. You're dismissed.